So the companion to the story of Zechariah is the story of Mary. And Mary then, after we tell the story, sings a song. And so this reading is going to be interspersed with music, as it should be. In Luke's Gospel, we read how a young girl named Mary is told she will give birth to Jesus. And her response was, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And later, Mary traveled to the village of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And when the two women met, the child in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. And Elizabeth told Mary, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord."
Then Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of the Lord's servant."
And Mary said, "Surely, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name."
The Lord's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm, scattering the proud in the thoughts of their hearts.
And God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped the servant Israel, in remembrance of God's mercy and according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.
And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her own home.
We've just heard two passages from the beginning of Luke's Gospel. We've been introduced to two people who had life-changing encounters with God's messenger, in this case, the angel Gabriel. The first was the old priest, Zechariah, who was performing his duties in the temple when the angel told him how his wife, Elizabeth, would bear a son who would be a mighty prophet like Elijah. And Zechariah found this hard to believe, and for his hesitancy, he was struck mute. The second person was the young girl Mary, who was alone at home when the angel told her that she would bear a son who would be called the Son of the Most High. And Mary also found this hard to believe, but she gave a different response, saying, "Let it be to me according to your word." And then she sang a song of praise about how her soul magnifies the Lord, how her spirit rejoices in God her Savior. Karl Barth was a famous theologian of our Reformed Presbyterian Church tradition. He was a pastor in Switzerland during the years prior to World War II, and he often preached to people held captive in prison. This man wrote volumes and volumes of Bible commentary and theology, and he pushed the church never to forget to look to Christ for all good things, rather than simply trusting in their own wisdom and power. In one of his early sermons, he reflected on Zechariah and Mary, and he offered these words about belief. Barth said, "We are all just like Zechariah standing in the temple. Every one of us has a hidden side of our being that is, as it were, in touch with God. We are secretly in a close connection with the eternal truth and love, even if we ourselves are not always aware of it. And from this other hidden side of our being resounds a voice that speaks to us constantly. See, however we may think about it, the living Word of God is available to us. It's a word that, in contrast to human words, is clear and intelligible and unambiguous. This inward Word of God contains precisely that which moves us and unsettles us. It's this word that delights us and grieves us. It is something which we would gladly tell one another. Because without this word, well, we would not suffer so deeply from injustice when we must stand by and watch it. Without this word, we would not be able to resist so powerfully and become so indignant against the lies and violence we see dominating life separate from this word. Were it not for God's voice placed in our heart, we would not have the desire to show love or to be fully loving. See, believing in God is not something as special or difficult or even unnatural as we often suppose. Believing means that which we listen to as God's speech. What moves us is not just our own concern, but God's concern. What causes me worry, that is God's worry. What gives me joy, that is God's joy. What I hope for is God's hope. In other words, in all that I am only a party to that which God thinks and does. And in all that I do, it is not I, but rather God who is important. For the greatest, the best in us is precisely not our own private concern, but rather God's. God wants to do everything through us and with us, and never without us. Our participation in what God does naturally originates and grows out of God's power, not our own. And so we too stand in the temple, deaf and mute perhaps like Zechariah, yet in spite of his unbelief, Zechariah was still a herald of Advent, one who waited for God. Otherwise, the angel would never have spoken to him. Otherwise, he would never become the father of John the Baptist. And when all those things that Zechariah couldn't believe and couldn't express finally did happen, then he could speak again. Then he could believe. Because God does not stand still when we come to a standstill. But God precedes us with God's deeds and only waits long enough so that we can follow. And so we accept, even with all that we cannot say and with all that we have not yet heard or understood, we accept that we too are heralds of Advent. And like the other character, Mary, we too rejoice in the Mighty One who has done great things for you and for me. Thanks be to God. The next carol is a familiar Christmas piece, O Come Emmanuel. There will be a musical interlude, and then we will stand and join in singing it.
the season of waiting, we approach the God who loves us, who loves us so much that God put on flesh and dwelt among us, with humility and joy, with anticipation and hope. In the Spirit, let us enter into a time of prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, in the season of preparation, as we seek to turn our hearts and our minds to you, help us to believe. Help us to believe that you love us. Help us to believe that you have come to save us. Help us to believe that your kingdom ushers in justice and peace. Help us to believe that your good news is for us here and now, and is not just a sentimental story from ages ago, or something for which we hope to come. As we prepare to welcome, to celebrate the Prince of Peace, fill our hearts and our lives with peace. Where there is war or violence, let violence cease and make enemies become friends. Where there is conflict, by your Spirit bring growth and new life and new possibilities. Where there is disease of any kind, of body or mind or spirit, where there is disease in our homes or in the systems of this world, of governance, of finance, bring healing swiftly and thoroughly. Where there is mourning or suffering, bring comfort to all in need. And where there is need, where people are hungry or homeless or forsaken or oppressed or abused, by your Spirit and your grace and your mercy, provide for the needs of all of your people. Hear the prayers that we lift in this silence, the yearnings of our heart where we need your peace. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into our lives and into this world. By your Spirit, be at work through us, that we might be your instruments of peace in this broken world. And hear the prayers that we offer in the name of the light of the world who is to come, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.